We turn to our first Bible reading to Genesis chapter 1, reading verses 9 to 13, which can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bibles. In the story of creation, we read how God created the land and how he felt about what he had created. Genesis 1, reading from verse 9. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. The seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Here ends the first reading. We turn further in Genesis to chapter 8, to verses 1 to 5, which can be found in page 7. When God saw how sinful the world was, he flooded it, saving only Noah and his family and all the animals in the ark. We read what happened to the ark as the flood waters began to recede. Genesis 8, reading from verse 1. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the flood waters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the flood waters gradually receded from the earth. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. Here ends the second reading. We turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 12, which can be found on page 735 of the Pew Bibles. We turn to the start of what is probably the most famous sermon ever heard. We hear the words of Jesus as he preaches to the multitude and to the disciples in particular. Matthew 5, reading from verse 1. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. May God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. So the author of Psalm 121 wrote, words that have been sung by generations. But the question that comes to my mind is, why? Why lift your eyes to the hills? Why are there so many stories in the Bible of God choosing to interact so dramatically with humanity on mountains? God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. God could and does interact with humanity in the desert, on the ocean, in the school playground, in your home and my home, in your workplace and your local pub, in this church sanctuary, in the quiet place that only you know where you find peace. So why did God choose the mountains of Ararat to make a covenant with Noah? Why did Abraham have to climb the mountain in the land of Moriah to have confirmation of the covenant that God would bless him and all his descendants? Why did God choose to deliver the Ten Commandments into the hands of Moses on the top of Mount Sinai? Why was Jesus transformed on the top of a mountain and at another time raised to heaven? To consider such questions, I chose to take some study leave earlier this month. I decided to climb the highest points of England, Wales, and Scotland to explore God in the mountains, biblical, physical, and spiritual. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to share some of my experiences and findings with you. And this week, I begin with the preparation. I am of an age when I need to prepare for things like this. Before, in my youth, I would just go and do it. Back in those days, most young people were reasonably fit. Our lives active enough that our bodies could cope with such physical demands. But there are some things that we all need to prepare for, no matter what age we are or what age we live in. Who here could run a marathon without first building up their stamina? Who here could walk the 95 miles of the West Island Way without similar training? Who here could swim the English Channel without first putting in the practice lengths at Belsall Baths? Perhaps in my youth, I could have faced the challenge of the Three Peaks without much preparation. But the reality is that my body is not what it once was. I carry a couple of injuries not visible to others. I have a weakness in my left knee, caused by not stopping when I should have when running the first Glasgow Marathon back in 1983. That injury means that every step down the mountain, when the strain is put on that knee, I feel the pain of the decision I took 35 years ago. The other injury is to my left shoulder. I can see all the sympathy coming in here. Going, as the muscles round my rotator cuff were injured when I cleared the church car park of ice back in February of this year. The long wait for physiotherapy meant that I only had a few weeks of treatment before I set off to climb the highest mountains in mainland Great Britain. And my training did not quite go as I planned. I came down with the dreaded sickness and diarrhea bug on the first day. Just 24 hours earlier,
I had led the family communion service here at the end of Kids Club week, and I had enjoyed a fish supper at the debrief meeting on the Sunday night. I hope no one else suffered as I did. On Tuesday morning, the day after, I awoke at about 2 o'clock in the morning, with my mind clear for the first time in over 24 hours. And the thought that woke me was a warning. Danger lies ahead. Danger. I recalled an encounter with a lady on the Isle of Lewis on the outskirts of Stornoway whilst I was there on summer placement during my training for ministry some 10 years ago or so. I remember listening to the lady speaking about her experience living through the revival that swept across that island from 1949 to 1953. As I was about to leave her company, I asked her if she would like me to pray for revival again. The look of horror that crossed her face made me wonder if I'd said something wrong. She looked at me intently and said, "Be careful what you pray for, young man. Don't pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your life unless you're prepared for the changes he will make." The top of a mountain is a dangerous place, not just physically, but spiritually as well. And the lady's words, "Be careful what you pray for," made me wonder, am I really ready to meet God at the top of the mountains? I thought of the Old Testament heroes I mentioned before, Noah, Abraham, and Moses. Were they prepared to meet God on top of the mountain? Noah had spent 7 months, well, 7.5 months, safe but confined to the inside of the ark as it rode the storms of the great flood. He had a long time to contemplate what the new world would look like. He probably had a million questions to ask God. But over all things, he was a good man who obeyed God. Spiritually, he was always ready to meet God. Emotionally, he probably couldn't wait to be free of the confines of the ark. Noah was prepared. In contrast, we have Abraham, who was climbing the mountain in obedience to God, but with a heavy heart, because God had asked him to bring his son Isaac along and to offer Isaac as a sacrifice at the top of the mountain. I can barely imagine the emotional turmoil that must have been going through Abraham's mind as each step up brought him nearer to the death of his son. Spiritually, Abraham was ready. We know this because he was willing to go through with the sacrifice of his son if that was what God wanted. What an example of "Thy will be done." Emotionally, Abraham would have been dreading meeting God. Excuse me. And the terrible price he would be asked to pay for his faith. But Abraham was prepared. What about Moses? Was he prepared to meet God? He had already encountered God in the burning bush and had a number of conversations with him during the plagues sent to persuade Pharaoh to release the Israelites from slavery. Before he was given the Ten Commandments, God told Moses to prepare the people by consecrating them for 2 days and making them all wash. This Moses did before climbing the mountain. Moses was prepared to meet God, though a little worried about his own safety, because he believed that no living being could meet with God in person and survive the encounter. But were the people he led prepared? They may have been washed and prayed for 2 days, But before Moses returns 6 days later with the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written on them, the people had built a golden calf and had begun to worship it. The people may have gone through the motions of preparing to meet God, but they weren't ready to actually meet him. Their minds were elsewhere. In our gospel reading earlier, we heard that many people followed Jesus onto the mountainside and heard the Sermon on the Mount. They had an encounter with the Lord, but did they meet him? Many people have encounters with God on mountains. Perhaps it's in a moment when they stop to look around and they appreciate the beauty of his creation. Or maybe when they experience a stillness not found down below at street level that allows God's still small voice to be heard. But I believe there is a difference between an encounter with God and a meeting with God. At 2 o'clock on that Tuesday morning, I thought on all of these things, and I wondered if I was really ready to meet God. And I wonder, are you ready to meet God? When you set off for church this morning, did you have it in your mind that you were going to meet God? Or was your mind on other things? Did you prepare yourself quietly in prayer? Did you wash yourself spiritually by confessing your sins? Are you ready to meet God right here, right now? Or is there something in your life that you need to deal with first before you could meet his all-knowing gaze? Perhaps there are images on your computer that shouldn't be there. Thoughts about a neighbour or friend that you would be ashamed to say out loud. Perhaps there is a hatred deep down in your heart for someone who has wronged you in the past, and you can't meet Christ's gaze because you know how much he has forgiven you. Maybe you carry a secret so dark that you think it would never allow God to meet with you. Whatever it is that prevents you from being ready to meet God, know that right here and right now, God is ready to meet you. He is prepared for all your weaknesses and all your sinfulness. And he wants to meet you, the real you. Are you ready to meet God? Which brings my mind to another question. Is this church ready to meet God? We are about to travel into uncharted territory. We are moving from the comfort and familiarity of the Model Deed Constitution with its cut session and board into the unknown of Unitary Constitution. We have to redefine and update our mission statement and form committees that will allow this church to move forward in faith and witness. We all have a chance to prepare this church. We are in a unique position as we move from an old style of doing things to a new way. A chance for everyone, for young and old and in between, to get involved, to have your say, to be effective and dynamic in serving God in this church and the parish that we serve around us. God does not call us to climb mountains, but he also does not call us to be passengers. He calls us to be explorers, to boldly go where no one has gone before in this church, to reach out to the community in new and inspirational ways, to welcome without judgment all who cross the threshold of this church, to find innovative ways of spreading his message of love. Even if it means learning the new language of the youth of today and meeting them where they are, rather than expecting them to meet us where we are. We need to prepare for the future, for I believe that God has a great mission in store for Burnhead. Though the view, like the views I had at the three summits that I mentioned, is currently obscured in the clouds at this moment. But still, we need to prepare now rather than later. I'd like to leave you this morning with an image I had during my preparation week. It was during my first climb up the hills. I wandered off the route a couple of times, went past the peak I was aiming for, climbing a much higher one behind the original objective. But I learned from my mistakes, found a way to get where I had intended to go, and I reached the summit of the steeple with its panoramic views over Loch Goyle and further down the valley into Loch Long. As I made my way down from the summit, a small burst of rain soaked the valley below. But weirdly, I was above the clouds, and I looked down and I saw a rainbow. It's a peculiar viewpoint to see a rainbow from above. And it reminded me of the first person to see a rainbow. His name was Noah. And he stood upon a mountain when he saw it. And I wondered if he looked down on his as I looked down on mine. Noah then stepped forward into unknown territory. We step forward into unknown territory. And yes, we may have to take a few wrong turns along the way, but we need to have the courage to take the steps and trust that God will lead us. It may not be the direct route up the mountain. We may need to go sideways first. It may be that we need to experience life on the slopes of the mountain and sometimes deep in the valley before God decides we are ready to view the summit. This church needs you to have courage and take one step forward, because without that step, we won't go anywhere. One step and then another. That is how you get to the summit, one step at a time. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your beauty speaks to us all around us. Lord, not everyone can walk on the top of mountains. Not all of us can ride on the ocean waves. But you, Lord, you speak to us. In the beauty of a rainbow on a soaked day, or the glorious sunshine in the summer, or the trees in autumn, or the snow that covers so much and looks so beautiful in winter. Lord, your creation speaks to us. Lord, this is a time for Burnhead to move forward, to do new things. We ask that you would be with each and every one of us here and all those of our members who are not here today, that we would have the courage to go forward with you, not in our own name, but in your name, and to put our foundations down in the roots of Jesus Christ, to follow the examples of the 12 who grew into over 2 billion. Lord, guide us, be with us, encourage us, give us the strength we will need, and let us forever feel your presence. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.